I'll try and condense down as much as possible, but here are some interesting things that we've learned from the recent doc drop. One clear thing that stood out was Bethany Funk's interviews after the murders had taken place. She told police that about a month earlier, Gonzalez had taken her dog Murphy outside when she saw an unknown man standing above the house to the south, staring at her. This was concerning enough for Kaylee to tell everyone about it, even prompting her to call her roommates to ask if they'd be home soon. Then on the 4th of November, about 9 days before the attack, the roommates came home at about 11 a.m. to find the door open, loose on its hinges. Bethany reported that Kaylee was away at this time and Zanuck and Odell's father fixed that door. The other thing would be Koberger's interview with the police after he was apprehended. In the police interview, they chatted about Washington State football team, Koberger's doctorate studies in criminal justice, as well as his required duties to be a teaching assistant while in college, as well as why he wanted to become a professor. Koberger eventually said that he understood why they were engaging in small talk. They would appreciate if the officers explained what they wanted. One detective told him it was because of what happened in Moscow. The detective asked him if he knew what had transpired, where Koberger replied, "Of course." When asked if he wanted to talk about it, Koberger replied by stating, "Well, I think I need a lawyer." Now, he did continue speaking, though, but he was asking what specific questions they had, as well as asking if his parents and dog were okay during his arrest. Koberger finally said that he would like to speak to an attorney. Police then ended the interview because Brian had then invoked his Fifth Amendment right. Now, I don't want to get too much into it, but obviously Brian Koberger, of all people, would know that. He knows that the second he says that he wants an attorney, he's invoked his Fifth Amendment right. And therefore, realistically, the police shouldn't actually push him anymore or probe him on questions. What's interesting, though, is how he is actually specifically probing them about what it is that they've learned about him. Obviously, they can't give him that much detail, but you can see at that point, his mind is now beginning the chess game. Because like I said to you, he did not rush back to Idaho to exonerate himself. He rushed back to Idaho to find out what evidence they held against him as fast as possible in order to try and manipulate a plan. There was a woman that actually lived nearby that told investigators that around about August or September time of 2022, she and her daughter saw a man in their yard who looked nervous, and she said that she is almost certain that man was Koberger. Next is this interesting segment from an inmate. On the 16th of September 2024, I spoke to was an inmate at Latah County Jail at the time and had been housed next to Koberger since August of 2024 until Koberger's transport to Ada County on September 15th, 2024. I was made aware by Detective Vargas that spoke to Koberger while on a phone call with his mother. I began by asking what he thought of Koberger having to live next to him. He told me Koberger was highly intelligent and polite for the most part. He told me Koberger would often question him about his past criminal offences and why he was in the maximum security wing of the jail. I asked him what he thought of Koberger's intelligence. He stated Koberger was the smartest person he had encountered while in confinement. He told me Koberger quickly became annoying because of some of his habits. He told me Koberger would wash his hands dozens of times each day and would spend 45 minutes to an hour in the shower. I asked him if he slept at night. He told me Koberger would be awake almost all night and would only take a nap during the day. He said that he could hear Koberger moving around all night, which also annoyed him. I asked him if Koberger ever lost his temper. He told me on one occasion Koberger was video chatting with his mother, which he said he did for hours each day. While he was watching sports, he said, "You suck," to one of the players on the team, at which point Koberger immediately got up and put his face to the bars and aggressively asked him if he was talking about him or his mother. He said that that was the only time Koberger lost his temper. I asked him if Koberger had mentioned anything about the crimes he was charged with. He said Koberger did not mention his alleged offences at all. He also told me Koberger was excited to move to Ada County. He stated that he had served time at Ada County and noted he did not think Koberger would like to be there. Next tip comes in from a specific dancer, let's say. This happened during the time frame of roughly 2018 to 2019. Now, she's not actually sure, but let's get into this one. She stated she came into work on what she described as a slow day and noticed only one man seated next to the stage, alone. She stated she got on the stage and began her dance when she noticed the man seemed to be talking to himself. She stated the man made her feel uneasy, but she continued her dance. She told me during the dance, she heard the man state something about wanting to kill people. She told me she thought she misheard the man, so she did not acknowledge the statement until he said it again. She said she could not remember exactly what the man said, but thought it was something to the effect of wanting to kill people. She told me she engaged with the man after the second comment, thinking he was trying to get her attention. She told me she jokingly asked the man who he was going to kill, to which he replied something to the effect of, "Whoever I want." She then completed her dance and left the stage. She told me the conversation was strange enough, she remembered telling the bouncers at the club to keep an eye on the man who she said sat and watched the other dancers for some time. She told me she offered the man a private dance as he was the only person in the club. During the dance, she told me the man told her to look at him directly in the eyes the entire time and ask her questions about what car she drove and where she lived. She told me she finished her private dance, at which point the man left and did not return to the club to her knowledge. She said that she did not think about the encounter until she saw Koberger's picture on TV upon his arrest. And she told me that she was fairly certain Koberger was the man she encountered in the club that day. Another couple of really quick things. One would be that they've confirmed that Papa Rogers was not Brian Koberger. If you've been a part of my channel, I said for a long period of time that that IP came from Florida. And if you've just seen in the recent doc drops, the IP of Papa Rogers came from Florida. But after Brian Koberger's incarceration, I was actually messaged by Papa Rogers. Not only did I know it was somewhat of a troll account, after Brian Koberger's arrest, the message that came through on an iPad. If you're aware, Brian Koberger was inside and he only had access to what would be considered something like an iPad. But the iPad itself doesn't connect to the internet and isn't like a normal iPad. It's quite simply to order food and things like that. But clearly, to my knowledge, it had come from a troll account, with them going through the hassle of taking that much detail into account just to message back. And the other thing that I'd learned was that the IP address belonged to a woman in Florida, but let's not get into that. Also, just want to say that people give a lot of credit to Papa Rogers' account, where they state that they were saying things before this was even released by the investigation team. Thing is though, investigators have been going round shop to shop and asking if they sold a particular brand of knife, and that knife was a K-bar. Residents knew about this and it sort of just spread like wildfire. Although they hadn't released the weapon that was used in the attack, you can pretty much take two and two and just stick them together. Police from that investigation are walking around asking if certain shops sell K-bar knives. The obvious factor there being that that would have been the weapon used in the crime. If investigators were going around asking for a specific type of or shell casing, then that would give the ideology as to what Pacific might have been used in the crime. But they didn't. They were asking for a K-bar.